For 20 years, Small Business Digest has helped millions of entrepreneurs grow their business. We do this by highlighting ways they can increase profits. Whether these suggestions improve marketing and provide better financial management, offer robust people management ideas, provide speedier logistics, our guests each offer ways of reducing costs, adding sales, widening profits.
Tom Mazzella here again for Small Business Digest. You know, we always try to bring you people that have products or services that we think will help you improve profits. However you improve profits, it varies, but the idea is improve profits. Mike Flannery is here today. He wants to talk about a product that I'm very anxious to know a lot more about. Mike, welcome to the program.
Don, thank you. It is a pleasure to be with you today and to discuss the offerings from Kinetic Business and how we can help small businesses improve productivity, efficiency, and ultimately their profitability.
Okay. Well, on that note, as we always ask, tell us, Mike, a little bit about yourself, your personal background, then what your company is all about. And don't forget at the end, give our audience someplace to call or email.
Perfect. I appreciate that. Yeah, Don, you know, my experience today, my role is I'm the president of Windstream's Kinetic Business Organization. That's a B2B technology service provider. But I started out as a small business owner many, many years ago. That was my first job, and I was bitten by the bug early on. I started my own business before I actually went to college. And then through my formative years and formal education, it dawned on me that, small businesses have big impacts. They're the cornerstone of the U.S. economy. So when I graduated and went on to do my postgraduate work, it was really important to me to get into an industry that enabled small businesses to grow. So that's what I've done. I've been with Windstream now for 7 years, but my last 30 years or so have been in the technology industry, specifically telecommunications and networking services. And today, I'm responsible for an organization that provides technological services to primarily in 18 states across the United States. We provide services across the entire United States, but we're predominantly located in 18 states, and we provide networking, communications, and security-based solutions to small, medium, all the way up to large enterprises.
Okay. And your website?
Our website, you can find us in multiple places, at windstream.com or business.windstream.com or windstreamenterprise.com. Any of those three websites will direct you to the products and services that we offer here at Windstream for small businesses.
Okay, but do you have something specific that you wanted to talk about, a product that improves productivity. So tell us about that.
Yeah, Don, you know, we recently, about a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so, launched Business Ready Internet. And what Business Ready Internet is a technological application that provides small businesses with a service that's tailored and customized to their needs, whether they're a small business in a small town or a small business in a big city. It's an all-in-one connectivity solution that keeps small businesses running with lightning-fast fiber internet services that's combined with advanced Wi-Fi, security, and network resiliency all in one. Again, this is a product that small business owners can rely on for their connectivity needs to help them maintain, secure their operations, boost productivity, and ultimately increase profitability.
Well, you've thrown a lot of words at us, but let's break it down a little bit. You know, I think it's still 67% of small businesses are still relatively technologically slow. And let's start with fast communication. How much we go our how fast we could go up to the network and down the network. But what do you mean by fast? And why is it important for small business?
Yeah, I think, Don, that's a great question. When we talk about fast, we're measuring the speed in which an entity connects to the internet. And we offer two speeds. We have what's 300 megabytes, so that would be considered fast. And then ultimately, super fast, we like to say, would be our 1 gigabyte service. And all that is intended to do is demonstrate the amount of information that can go to and from the business itself to most wherever its final destination is. In this case, oftentimes it could be the internet, it could be another business that you're communicating with. And for us, the fastest technology that a business can leverage is fiber-based. Today, many businesses have multiple types of technologies. For instance, many of us have cell phones. But if you're transmitting information, the manner in which it is the quickest and most secure and most resilient is over fiber-based internet services. And that's a really key component of what we here are offering for Kinetic Business.
But I'm a small business. I come to you and I say, Mike, I'm sitting here. I got all this data. I have all these three or four offices, three or four stores. What are some of the questions I should be asking you, and you should be asking me, so that we can optimize both sides of the equation?
Yeah, I think, Don, it starts with, from a small business owner's perspective, what are the challenges that they're faced with? And I think in my conversations with the thousands of businesses that we provide service to today, it starts with how do I retain customers and create greater engagement with those customers? How do I manage my cash flow better, specifically whether it's dealing with inventory or conducting transactions online for payments? What are the administrative burdens that they face? To all of us today are faced with greater regulation and compliance, whether it has to do with taking credit card transactions or healthcare services. And last but not least, cybersecurity. How do you protect not only your information and your personal information, but your customers' personal information? So when talking to technology providers, I ask those questions. Can your product reliably and securely allow me to conduct business transactions on behalf of my customers and behalf of my employees? And that's something that Kinetic Business does. As I mentioned, we have fiber-based internet services, which is the fastest connection that you can have. We offer advanced Wi-Fi, so that allows you to interact with your customers inside of your network and creating a separate network so they can use internet-based services at your domain or at your place of business, security, and then network resiliency so that you're never without connectivity. Similar, Don, to power today. When the power goes out, we're pretty much paralyzed and really can't do the things we want to do. That's true of your internet service now. Without internet, many businesses are paralyzed and can't conduct the necessary transactions that allow them to bring profits into their business.
Well, Mike, let me stop right there and a question. I have Verizon for my system, but if Verizon goes out, I'm dead. Okay, and you worry about it. Well, how do you guard against that? If I have Verizon, does that mean I don't have you? I don't have you, or vice versa?
Yeah, so Don, that's a great question. And I'll tell you, when you go with business ready internet from Windstream and Kinetic Business, you have the ability to have diverse connections. Our flagship offering provides fiber-based internet service to you, but it also enables you with network resiliency. So you can have a secondary connection, what we call a diverse connection, that can be either fiber-based or wireless, so that if your primary connection goes down, in your case, you mentioned Verizon, it automatically fails over to a secondary connection to allow your business to continue to stay online and your employees productive and your customers satisfied. That's the benefit of business-ready internet from Kinetic Business.
But let's stop a minute and just go a little step further. We switch over, say, to Wi-Fi or something else. How does it affect your security? We had someone on a couple of weeks ago that said that at that point, you're really opening yourself up to greater vulnerability.
Yeah, I think, Don, one of the things that businesses, all of us in today's day and age are have to be cognizant of and sometimes can be affected by is cybersecurity. We have built within our product robust security through an integrated firewall. So that protects the users from advanced cyber threats, unauthorized network traffic that obviously can lead to costly downtime and damage brand recognition. And that's true, again, inside of our business-ready internet product, especially when you're leveraged advanced Wi-Fi. So again, built within the product, within this one device that Windstream Kinetic Business provides to you, is cybersecurity protection.
Well, let's stop a minute and ask a different question. I come along and I discover that somebody might have infected my system. Do you then come in? Do you have a service that allows you to go in and search out that breach?
Remediate the breach. We do not offer directly cyber remediation. There are several companies who we partner with, which we can refer you to, but we do not do remediation. Our belief, Don, is quite simple. Prevention is the best medicine, meaning the technology that we provide to small businesses is focused on preventing those breaches. But in the event that a business does get compromised, we can provide referrals to companies that do address those types of problems.
Well, I don't know if you can answer this question, but I was also told with another of our guests that if we don't have adequate protection for our customer list, we become liable should anyone break in and get that list. Could you address that?
Yeah, I think what you're referring to is, today, especially here inside the United States, there is a host of regulatory and compliance issues that small business owners are grappling with on a daily basis. For example, if you take credit card payments, you're bound by something that's called PCI. If you're dealing with healthcare information, you're dealing with what's called HIPAA. These word salads of regulatory items are really important to a small business owner, and you need to make sure the technology that you're leveraging and utilizing within your business are compliant with those regulatory requirements. And again, business-ready internet from Windstream Kinetic Business is compliant and ensures that small business owners have advanced networking solutions that facilitate the use and utilization of a compliant management software and ensures that you always have timely updates and can rest assured that your business is protected from those threats as well as compliant with the regulatory requirements that exist here in the United States.
I love your line, word salads. I like that.
Now, there's a lot of acronyms, Don. I don't know. It's difficult for small business owners to navigate that, but that's what we're here for, to help them focus on what they do best and leave it to Windstream to handle the compl providing products that are compliant with the regulators.
Well, let's stop a minute. Your websites again for people that and do it slower than you don't rattle it off. Give them
Sure.
websites with slower
Sure. Www.windstream.com. And you can go underneath that to our small business. There's a drop down where you can select small businesses. You can go to business.windstream.com/small-business-internet. And you can go to www.windstreamenterprise.com. Any of those websites are available to look at all of the services that Windstream provides for businesses here in the United States.
Well, let me ask another question at this point. What do you define as a small business?
Yeah, that's a great question, because one of the things I was just reading this the other day, what is a small business and what's its contribution here to the US economy? In our parlance, a small business is that owner operator, a single location, all the way up to 30 locations, really. The economic contribution of those businesses is immense inside of the country. I read something from the Small Business Administration. Nearly 44% of the gross domestic product is generated by small businesses. 62 million people are employed by small businesses. So the reality is, nearly 99.9% of all businesses in this country are defined as small business, and that's who we aim to serve.
Well, I'm a small business. I have three locations, and I
Excellent.
sell widgets. Okay. I come to you. Well, how much does can you go through a process of how much your Windstream will cost me? Please.
Yeah, sure. So that business-ready internet product, including the equipment rental at 300 megabytes, is going to be $84.99. If you want to go to a gigabyte speed, it's going to be $119.99. Now, that's all in for the product. And I would challenge your listeners and your readers, Don, to explore other options, because there are going to be other organizations that provide technology providers that provide these like services. But I'd encourage them to read the fine print, because oftentimes what you'll realize is that it becomes a question of what are you getting for the price you pay? With us, you get the full service for the prices that I quoted. And then, in addition, if you want additional services like voice communications or you want collaboration tools, there's additional charges for that. But our network connectivity, our advanced Wi-Fi, our security, and network resilience all comes bundled in that one price that I quoted you with business-ready internet from Windstream Kinetic Business.
Per month. You didn't add
Per
the
month. Per month. That's right, sir. Per month.
right. Well, I have to say, one of you sure believe in your product.
Absolutely. We have been in business for a long time. Like I said, we support hundreds of thousands of businesses and millions of consumers. And that's another delineation, Don, something really important, I believe, for your listeners and your readers out there. When you're talking about a business, I don't believe it's prudent to rely on a consumer-based internet product. This is your lifeblood, your livelihood. Like you've talked about, profitability is dependent on that. I would encourage, like I said, your listeners to get business grade products and not rely on consumer based products, for the mere fact that, again, from a resiliency, a connectivity, and a security standpoint, you want a business grade product to support your business.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. Sometimes a small business product is a big business product that's been cut down. But if I'm hearing you correctly, you built it the other way around, small business upward.
That's right. I think, Don, again, going back to those statistics I quoted, it's an imperative that business owners, regardless of their size, have a product that's purpose-built for their needs. We as consumers have clearly different needs than those who are running businesses. Like I said earlier, from a security standpoint, from a compliance standpoint, from a resiliency standpoint, a business without connectivity or without their phone service or without security isn't going to be a business for long if they don't have dependable services. So we built it from the business owner's perspective first, not taking a consumer-based product and adopting it to business like many of our competitors do today.
Well, let me ask you this question. The money you quoted does not include if I wanted to take in credit cards, does it?
It does, yeah. Again, the connectivity that we provide is, now, if you have a credit card reader, you're going to pay someone else for that service. But the connectivity that you need to connect to the payment card companies, whether it's Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, so on and so forth, we provide that connection for you in that price. But yes, you're going to pay something extra if you have a credit card reader. We don't offer that as part of the service.
But it's interesting. I get call after call. We don't take credit cards for anything. So, but I get call after call, and they all talk. They start throwing these numbers at me, and I don't know how anyone can really work it out.
Yeah, I think, Don, my advice for your readers there is to partner with a trusted networking and communications provider like Windstream. We've got 150,000 fiber route miles in the United States alone, probably the fourth largest of all the providers here in the United States. So I always, when it comes to my business, I'm going to put my faith and trust in a reputable provider that's been here and has the scale that can support my business and the criticality that that business has to my well-being.
To put it in perspective, who's number three or number two?
Well, they're the usual suspects, as you know. I think they go by the names of AT&T, Verizon and Zayo. Those would be some of the larger networking providers. But I would tell you that we here at Windstream are very proud of our heritage and our commitment to small businesses. Don, the thing I would tell your listeners and readers, we're local. When you do business with us in those 18 states that we have a significant presence in, you're going to see those same technicians, those same sales folks at your community events, at your children's sporting events, at church. We are very committed to being local because we know that small businesses have big impacts locally.
How many employees do you have?
Inside of the company, we have a little under 9,000 employees.
That's some payroll.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes.
I often say if our government officials one week had to make payroll, they change their outlook. But that's me.
True, very true.
We just have a few minutes left. First off, give us your website again.
Yeah, it's www.windstream.com. And you can click on business and you'll find all of our services there. Your listeners can also go to windstreamenterprise.com. That's www.windstreamenterprise.com. And if you want to look at the offer that I spoke about today on our visit, you can go to www.business.windstream.com/small-business-intranet.
Okay. And you got about a minute left. What would you like to leave our audience with?
Don, what I would like to leave your audience with is really a simple message. And what that message is as follows. Small businesses aren't just the backbone of this economy, they're the launch pads of the future. And, every empire has started with a simple spark, an idea, a vision, a dream. But, dreams alone don't build, giants inside of the business world. The right technology is the foundation. That's the fuel. That's the force multiplier for all of your listeners. And whether you're a one-person startup or a thriving small to medium-sized business, the right connectivity, security, and resilience, they don't just keep you in the game, they set you up to change the game. You think about it. Amazon, Apple, they were born in a garage. Dell Computer was born in a dorm room. Yankee Candle was born in a kitchen. But what you build today with the right tools could be the next dominant force in business. And really, Don, the only difference between a small idea and the next industry giant is the technology that powers it. That's where I believe Kinetic Business can help propel that small idea into the next big impact. Really appreciate the time with you today, Don.
Well, we appreciate your time as well. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Look forward to speaking again soon.
One, Tony Soprano, the famed fictional crime boss who grew up in the Ironbound section of Newark, New Jersey, turned to a psychologist to resolve some of his conflicted emotions. I grew up in the Ironbound section of Newark at the same time as depicted in the forthcoming movie prequel to the television Soprano saga. In the highly successful television series, Tony Soprano was a man born to the mob, yet questioning his birthright, the rules he lived by, and the people he associated with. Tony Soprano was not alone, and my book, Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, talks about those changes and the people they affected, myself included, and the fictional Tony Soprano. The period 1950 to 1965 was the time of major changes hitting Tony Soprano in fiction and my neighbors in real life. He, like many of my neighbors, felt the strain of an evolving Italian-American heritage. Tony Soprano and my generation were being torn from their roots, rendered from the comfort of their familiar with changing rules and mores. The family, long a center of his life, was unraveling. Recall, his mother, actually, Tony Soprano's mother, actually ordered his liquidation. The mob to which Tony Soprano was born to was morphing in ways he neither understood nor wanted. My book, Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, explores these changes by leading the reader through the labyrinth of channels swept away for most of us of Tony Soprano's generation. Tony Soprano is fiction. His experiences were not. Return with me to those times where individuals did things differently there and needed to adapt to changes without comprehending the exact nature of those demands. Certainly, Tony Soprano did not quite understand. Neither did I, nor others of our generation. I provide insight in Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, because my father was for many years the chief launderer of their shirts and the pressing. My mother had a lifetime friendship with the mob boss, and I covered them for the Newark News. The book is Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, and available soon here and at your favorite bookstore.
Don Mazzella here again for Small Business Digest. We have to say, and what I find is interesting, it's always dangerous for some people, husband and wife, to go on the air. I don't care what anybody says. We've seen too many people discover, what, did you really say that? Did you really mean that? But these two, Melita Seaman and Brad Seaman, are here to talk about their book, how they worked together for 20 years. And Brad suddenly decided We might not have been sudden for him, or certainly sudden for her, that he wanted to do something else. And we're going to find out all about it. Welcome, Alita and Brad. Welcome to the program.
Thank
Thank you
you.
so much for having us.
Well, our first question always is, tell us a little bit about yourselves. And what I'm going to do is ask Melita to talk about how they started the business, and then I'm going to ask Brad to say what made him decide to leave.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm going to go back a little earlier than when we started the business. So Brad's college roommate married my sister, and that's how we met. So we came together in our 20s, early 20s, and dated, got married, had two children. And when both of our children were two and under, we decided to go into business together. So we left our jobs. Didn't have a specific business plan. We were confident in ourselves. I don't know why, but it took us a few years to get the business off the ground. And during that time, we struggled as a lot of entrepreneurs. We had young children, but fortunately, we did not give in or give up. So it took us about 10 years to build the business up to get to, eight figures. And we put in a lot of time and effort into the business. We worked doing conferences and events across the.
I'm going to interrupt you. What was your business?
Yes. So we provided conference and event management services primarily for the Department of Health and Human Services. And we did that across the country and across the world, really. And we started with just the two of us. We learned the business from the ground up, didn't know it when we first started, learned the hard way. But we got to the point of doing maybe about 400 events a year. So we did quite a bit. And so we built that business, took us, like I said, about 10 years to get to the point where we felt like the business was really solid, and grew the business from there. And so we pivoted a little bit. As we grew the business and we could not qualify for some of the small business opportunities anymore. So we went into communications and information technology services. And so that's about the time when Brad made his decision. So I'll let him jump in there.
Sure. So thanks again for having us, Don. So, Melita did a great job of bringing us up to the point at which I had what I'll call my ego attack. So, it was actually an ego-based decision on my part to actually leave the business when we did. Melita mentioned that we had to transition. Our industry, because of federal government rules around small business, and I was actually the one who was taking the lead on the business development side in moving us into the new industries that we were in, getting introduced to new customers, and building relationships. And actually, I wasn't doing great at it. And Melita is actually the one who pointed out to me that, she thought that there were some things that I should change, some of the people that we were hiring to work with us in this business development effort. She thought that we, should change course a bit. And I took exception to it. My ego had grown with the revenues of the company. And I really didn't listen, and I didn't do well, and I began to realize that not only Melita could see it, others could see it as well. And about that time, I got a offer from a college friend who had won an election in the local government, and he kind of lured me out of the business to become one of his chiefs in the local government. And so it was really an ego-based decision that made me leave.
Well, you're about to leave. You're leaving her, in effect, in a transitional period. Okay. Well, the first question I always ask Melita is, did you succeed in keeping the business?
So that's a complicated question or answer. The short answer is yes. But the longer answer is it took a lot and not initially. So when Brad left, Brad and I had run the business side by side for so long that, you know, we were one brain. And when he left, I was left alone. So Brad is a CPA. So he oversaw the financial operations of the company as well as the business development. I was more on the operational side. So I struggled. I could not find a CFO to replace Brad. I went through unsuccessfully hiring two or three that did not work. And in the midst of all of that, we were shifting out of the conference business. And I think, Don, you have a background in understanding how events are. It's this requires a lot of cash flow. And so not having a CFO was very difficult. So I would say for the first year and a half, I struggled. But the main reason I'll say I struggled is because I was so angry that I could not focus on really what I needed to do. I was focusing my attention on Brad and beating him up, you know, as much as I could. Like, you know, do you understand what you're doing? Why won't you come back? And the more that I beat him up, I think the more that I chased him away. And so it wasn't until I realized no one was coming to save me that I had to really look at myself and decide what I could handle, what I could achieve, what I could do. And that's when I began to turn the business around and things got better.
Well, I'm gonna be intrusive because you have to ask the question, did you remain married together?
That's another good question. So the long answer is yes. The short answer is it was difficult. We remained married, but honestly, there were more mornings when we were yelling at each other than when we were smiling. And so we were coexisting. It was a very, very difficult time. And yes, of course, the thought remained, you know, maybe I should leave. I felt that Brad walked out on me, walked out on our marriage. And he could not convince me that that was not it at the time. So that was very difficult. But we did find our way, oddly enough, through a lot of grounding, a lot of reading. We created what is now we call our prayer room, where it became a neutral ground where we could talk about the most volatile things that we needed to talk about and to heal to get through it. So we did come through it.
So Don, one thing that's really interesting that I didn't mention about when I left. So when I left, because I was struggling, I actually believed in my mind, this is what I was telling myself, that Melita was going to do a better job of leading the company through the transition. And I really believe that she did a great job, but you know, I really had a blind spot about my ego. I didn't realize at the time that I had an ego challenge. And so all I was telling myself was that, you know, I believed that Melita could do a better job of leading the company through the transition. And so then you ask about our marriage. You know, one of the biggest things that saved us, Don, was Melita becoming a mirror for me so that I actually could see myself, and she pointed the ego issues out to me, and her serving as a mirror to me really, really sent me on an inner journey to really answer a lot of questions about myself.
Well, you use the word ego. What did you mean by that term before we go further? You can't throw terms out of here without me coming back.
Yeah. So, you know, ego, Don, is, you know, the image that you have of yourself. And I think what matters the most is where you get that from. So when your image of yourself, your self-esteem comes from outside of you through your bank account, through your job title, through other people telling you that you're smart, or what have you, then what happens is that your ego is, you don't have control of your ego. And so what I had to learn was I went on that inner journey that I talked about to learn that really my ego needed to come from inside of me and not from outside of me.
Melinda, you know, you're sitting there, he's going on, contemplating his novel over there. Well, what did you do to bust yourself from where you were to where you are now?
So it's interesting because Brad and I really took the same journey, but separately at different times. And so I ended up, Don, really going inside because I could not find the support that I needed. And when I did that, it was more out of feeling like I was at the bottom, because I was trying to hold everything together. In my mind, I felt that it was on me to save my family, to make sure that life we built for ourselves didn't just fall apart. And I felt alone. And so that's when I turned into reading more books and trying to work on myself because I had to get rid of the anger. You know, I was so angry. I was so hurt. I was so disappointed. And mostly I was afraid. I had a lot of fears. And so I had to find support to make that happen. And oddly enough, you know, or maybe not so oddly, I did not want to talk to anyone. That was probably the biggest thing. But so I turned to myself, started journaling and started learning more about myself and facing truths about myself that I actually, where Brad might have had an inflated ego. I suffered from lower self-esteem. And that was part of my problem. And I think the two things together made for a very interesting collision for us.
Okay. Well, in the interest of time, how did you come back to each other and what have you learned?
So when I stopped looking to Brad to save me and I began to focus on the things that I could do, the anger got better. The yelling went down quite a bit, and Brad and I began to have more rational conversations. As that happened, we came back together more as friends than the enemies we had become, and we began to realign. And eventually, Brad made the decision to come back to the business, but not because I was asking him to. At that point, we were 3 years down the road, past beyond when he had left, and he made that decision on his own. And when he came back, we were actually better than we were in any of the years prior.
So what's your business now? Or at the three-year point, what did you become?
So at the three-year point, we had pivoted mostly out of conferences and events. And we were doing more contracts in the area of information technology and communication. And so Brad came back into that. But, you know, Don, what we discovered was we were both unhappy. We were not feeling purposeful or fulfilled in the business that we were doing. So we made the tough decision to pivot. We said, this isn't what we want to do. We're going to sell contracts, let other contracts in, and use that runway to decide what our next careers will look like.
Okay.
So, Don, as we made that decision and pivoted out of that business, the first thing that we did was we decided to use the vast experience that we had gotten as entrepreneurs starting a business from the ground up and building it to, you know, over 100 employees and like we said, eight figures in revenue. And so we made that switch. We went into coaching, training, and consulting. And then during that that time when we were consulting, I actually garnered a consulting engagement, which eventually turned into a job. And so now I'm an executive in a large healthcare system, and that's, you know, where my passion is. And, you know, I can let Malia talk a little bit about what she's doing now.
So Don, this time, we both agreed with Brad leaving. So it was a good thing. We had had enough discussions to understand that real success is when you feel contentment and you achieve all of the other goals, financial goals, and so forth. And so that became our priority. So when Brad pivoted, I also pivoted into doing more consulting, engaged in writing a book. I founded the organization Inbound Leadership. And the entire purpose of Inbound Leadership is to help other leaders and individuals really achieve wealth, health, inner peace, and joy. And to understand that, you know, if you have the choice, really most of us would choose that in the reverse order. And that is to have joy, inner peace, health, and then wealth. But we have to make that commitment and be vulnerable enough to engage in what it takes to actually achieve that.
Okay. So now you have a book out. Let's go. Let's pivot to the book. Tell us about the book.
So Mindset Freedom really is our story about what we went through in building a business, building a marriage, putting it all on the line, almost losing both, and then how we came out of it together. And even it's interesting in the book, what we make clear is that when we are vulnerable and authentic, we have to be open. We have to be open-minded. So even as we wrote the book, we weren't sure that Brad and I would end up doing anything together when we first started writing the book. By the end of the book, Brad had decided to take the new position. I had pivoted into my own company as well. So the book really takes the reader from the beginning up until now in terms of what we had to go through personally and together as business partners and as a married couple.
Well, can I interrupt you and ask one question? You must have an awfully strong bond with each other to have gone through this, because most other couples at this stage would have exploded. What do you attribute this to?
So let me jump in there, Don. I think, and Malita has said this a couple of times, but what we both did was we took a journey within, and rather than pointing the finger at each other, you know, we pointed the finger at ourselves. And we did what we refer to as an excavation, which is really, you know, a process of getting all of the what we call light blockers, like ego and fear and doubt and insecurity, went through a process of getting that off of us as it builds up, you know, over a lifetime. And you actually end up, you know, being a person different than you came here. And so what we both decided to do was to kind of excavate and get what we call some of that dirt off of us to get back to, you know, our true selves and who we are, who we were, you know, within ourselves. And that was it was a great process to kind of, you know, Malita served as a mirror to me, like I told you. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, you come up with mantras that help you to stay mindful about the things that you learn. And, you know, and I still do it to this day. You know, I look sometimes at Malita and I said, well, what is the loving thing to do? You know, rather than putting myself first, I learned to put her first.
Okay. It's interesting, Brad, but I have to tell you, I'm a lot older than you. Couples that go through what you went through very seldom are able to come back together. What's the glue that keeps you together? Is it your children?
So that, you know, it's a great question, and I hear you, because really it's our spirituality, Don. I mean, what happened was I really literally hit rock bottom in my emotional state, my beliefs, my hope. Our children at that point were old enough to not be of concern. So when I stopped, when I put my weapon down, is what I'll call it, my weapon was my tongue and my anger. And I no longer, I believe Brad can correct me, I didn't look like the same person anymore. And I think he started to view me differently. I wouldn't engage in the anger. I practiced focusing on myself, pointing the finger at myself, because what I wanted is I wanted to be a better person. It wasn't even about Brad at that point. I wanted life to turn around for me because I needed something different. And so as I did that, I am going to let Brad speak for himself, but I believe Brad began to respond to me differently. Because to your point, Don, there were many days when, you know, we felt like this isn't going to work. I mean, we talked about it. We, you know, we looked at it. We were angry. But I think because we both started taking the steps to become the better people that we could be individually at different times, we were lucky. We were fortunate to come through it.
So, Brian, you don't have the book yet, but you have, what's the name of the book, and show our audience what that book?
Yeah, there it is. So the name of the book is Mindset Freedom, 7 Steps to Unlock Your Power in Life, Love, and Leadership. And you can see, so the right side is the front cover of the book, and the left side is the back cover. But you can see the little graphic there with the two heads back to back and the unlocking. And, you know, we had to move ourselves, Don, from a state of being in a mindset prison to getting ourselves out of it into a state of mindset freedom, where we were unencumbered by, you know, unconscious and subconscious, what we call light blockers, that were keeping us from being our true and authentic selves.
Well, when will it be available? And will it be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble? Where will it be?
So yeah, it'll be available on all of the major book retailers, especially Amazon. And it'll be available on May the 17th. And we would love for people to go in and buy the book and really share what we refer to as our Prove It journey. The book is written in 7 chapters, written by Melita. And they go and they follow the acronym Prove It, PROVEIT, and that means something. And then I write my 7 chapters about the same Prove It methodology that we have developed to, like I said, shift our minds from a mindset prison to a mindset freedom.
Well, do you have a website?
We do. So you can get more information at inboundleadership.com. Everything that you need is there. One thing I do want to add, Don, about the book is that we do tell the book from a yin and a yang perspective. Brad mentioned that. And so I think that answers more questions about what it was like for me and what it was like for Brad.
Okay. But it takes a lot to share all of this. Has sharing this helped you as well? Sharing going through what you went through?
So when I first started writing the book, I really was writing the book for myself.
Yeah.
And I think the same for Brad. And then after we really got into it, it was healing for us. We feel that it could be useful for other people who go through their own crises, and maybe, to your point, Don, make the commitment to fight through it. There's a bright side on the other side of things in some cases, and we happen to fight through it, and this is our story.
You know, and Don, I think Melita mentioned this earlier, but it's really important. Part of what helped us to pull through were the books that we read. And so we realized, you know, that, you know, maybe it would be a good thing for us to write for ourselves. But then as we started doing it, we realized that maybe possibly we could help people to avoid what we call the 2x4 that we got hit with that knocked us down, and we couldn't get back up the same way that we got knocked down. And hopefully when people read the book, you know, it'll motivate them to maybe take that journey within, do that excavation before they're forced to by, like I said, getting hit by a 2x4.
Well, I have to tell you, I've spent a lot of time in this area, but I guess my question is, what is the strong bond? I keep coming back to it, because most people that went through what you go through would have broken up. No chance of getting back together. I was talking to a very successful woman who had her own company, and I finally asked her, are you married? She said, yes. Then I asked her a dangerous question, which is, are you still married? She said, yes. She said, but you're right. You have no idea in the small business area how many couples cannot take.
Yeah.
So that the question of, at the end of our talk still is, it's amazing that you're together, given what you went through. And you're to be congratulated and envied.
Thank you for that, Don.
Thank you very much.
You know, we I'll say this. We did commit to being friends first, husband and wife secondly. So I think that's helped us a lot.
Okay. We only have a couple of minutes left. What would you like to leave our audience with?
So, you know, I think the most important thing for me that I've learned through this journey is how significant it is to do the best you can to be the highest version of yourself, and that is to be authentic. You know, the world is constantly pulling us left, right, filling our heads with ideas, beliefs, believe, look at this, do that. But we're really, as Ram Dass says, we're really just all walking each other home. And so the more that we can make life pleasant, content, not scary, supportive, all of those things for each other, the better we are helping all of humanity. And so that's my mission, is to make sure that we're all just being the best versions of ourselves that we can possibly be.
And for me, Don, you know, this is the Business Digest that we're on. And, you know, we talked about building, you know, a business. And, you know, we go to school, we get different training. You know, Melita mentioned I'm a CPA. We learn skills, financial skills, negotiation, leadership, you know, all of these kind of outer skills that we learn. But the thing that I've come to really believe in is the fact that it's the inner skills, the self-awareness, the emotional intelligence, the vulnerability, that without that, the outer skills will not carry you through to the end.
Well, on that note, I'm going to say thank you both for joining us for a very interesting time. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Don.
You have been listening to Small Business Digest. Our website is the number 2 SB Digest. Go there to hear this and all past and future shows. And tell us of a guest you would like to hear on this program. Remember, this show is about helping our audience improve profit. I'm Don Mazzella, and thank you.